I'd like to start this with a question. What do a coin, a robe, and a house have in common? A coin, a robe, and a house. What do they have in common? What's the connection between them? Over the next 10 plus minutes, we will explore that connection. Please turn to Luke chapter 21. As we're turning there, we'll begin with a game of show and tell. School started back up. Some kids are having to go through this in school. Let's do the same. So I'm guessing the people in the far back can see this exactly, and you know exactly what it is. Probably not. For everybody, if you could put on the monitor, please. Some would call it a lepton. I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced. Others would call it a mite. The widow's mite. This is the actual widow's mite. Now, it might not have been from the story, the widow's mite, but from Israel last year, special tourist deal just for you. This is a mite, officially from Israel. That's a picture of it on the screen. Adam Clark's commentary says that a mite could also be considered a crumb or a very small morsel. It's the smallest coin in use at that time. The name means the thin one. So let's catch up with the story. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. 1, 2. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So the title, The Widow's Mite. We'll explore 3 words. The coin, the robe, and the house. Let's start a little bit more with the coin. So if you can see, just for comparison's sake, here's a penny. You could put maybe 2 of the mites on top of a penny, so it's very, very small. But then I was trying to figure out, well, exactly how much would a mite be worth? We can know for sure that it's exactly 1/128th of a denarius. If that helps you, great. That doesn't help many of us. So then it's like, well, what's a denarius? A denarius was the average daily wage for an unskilled worker. Now, when I was growing up in the early 80s, late 70s, $3.25 an hour, that was a good wage back then. I used Dr. Google. The average daily wage now is $20 an hour. I don't know. That's what I use. So if it's a $20 an hour wage, then this mite is worth $1.25. So in perspective, 2 mites, maybe $2 worth going into the temple offering box. Also, it was the rabbinical minimum for an offering was 2 mites. So the widow could not have shown up to give any less than 2 mites, but she didn't have any more to give than 2 mites. So that was both the most and the least that could be given by the widow. So that's a simple start. The coin is the widow's mite. Number 2 is the robe. Well, what does a robe have to do with the widow's mite? Well, this might surprise you, but when Christ was speaking, he didn't give chapter breaks. He didn't say, wait a second, this is the end of chapter 21, now let's start chapter 22. We need to read this in context. Now, there's only 2 places in the New Testament that the widow's mite is talked about. It's also in Mark, and these verses look almost identical. The difference is in Mark, it reads as a complete story, and here in Luke, it's divided between chapter 21 or chapter 20 and then 21. So let's please read. And actually, I should just do a quick pause. Are we okay? Okay, thank you. So chapter 20 and verse 45 to start the context. Then in hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes. Most of this chapter before this and many other places, it's beware the scribes and the Pharisees. Beware the scribes. And what does it say about the scribes? They desire to go around in long robes. Well, what's the problem with the long robe? What does that mean? They love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feasts. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive the greater condemnation. That's then what launched into the story of the widow's mite. Barclay says that long robes were designed to sweep the ground, to be the sign of a notable person, but they were too good to have to hurry, too good to have to work. Long robes to sweep the ground, it's a sign of leisure. At these events, they like to draw attention to themselves. They like to be greeted with honor and respect. They wanted the front seat at the synagogue. Outsized tassels went with the long robes. It was all about, hey, look at me. So I tried to personalize this and imagine, well, what if this was in Cincinnati? So imagine this. The richest person from Cincinnati is showing up with an offering. He went to the bank and made a withdrawal. $1,000 worth of pennies. Imagine all the pounds of pennies brought by this person. Now, he's a billionaire, so that doesn't matter so much in comparison, but $1,000 worth of pennies, huge. And then in comparison, here's a little widow lady with $2. That's what was being shown here in the scene. But there's a couple more parts to this. It wasn't telling widows that they should give everything that they always had, everything at all. It's making a comparison point with the scribes in the long robes, because Christ never says, widows, go and do likewise. Widows, give everything you have. Looking at some different commentaries and different looks at this, it might just be that the widow gave all that she had at that moment. All that she had in that moment, she emptied her pocket, $2, in comparison with the $1,000 of pennies that somebody might have dropped into that offering. So now let's go to the second picture, please. We only have two. Appreciate Clint Porter and my wife for the PowerPoint skills. This is a picture, a hypothesis of what this might have looked like. Now, the offerings given at the temple, it was in the court of the women where these were at. There were 13, they called them trumpets, because they were narrow at the bottom, and then they came up and they kind of fanned out. Each trumpet was designed to be an offering for a different part of the temple. One offering for a trumpet would be for the wood to be burnt. Another offering to go in for the trumpet was for the incense. So there's 13 different trumpets. So when a person's going to the temple to give an offering, they're putting money into one of those trumpets. So here it shows, it looks like a younger widow lady putting money into a trumpet. Maybe that was a widow's mite, or actually would have had to have been two, because that was the minimum acceptable at that time. So the story of the robe before the widow's mite really needs to give context to say, Christ wasn't telling widows to give everything that they have and then show up tomorrow and say, I don't have any food, I don't have anywhere to live, what do I do now? That's not the intent. The intent is to say that the widow gave so much more, she emptied her pockets in comparison to the rich person giving $1,000 that's a billionaire, doesn't really matter as much in comparison. So we've talked about the coin, we've talked about the robe. What about the house? Please turn to Matthew chapter 23. So Matthew chapter 23. So Christ got into it quite a few times with the scribes and the Pharisees, including the story of the widow's mite, but also in the story here. 23 and verse 1, it starts off just to make sure we know who he's talking about, the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the hypocrites. Verse 5, it says, all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge their borders of their garments, those long robes to drag the ground and to show that they are the men of leisure. But I'd like to start with verse 13. And before I start with this, I'll say, Vassar College, Pasadena, years and years ago, many of you might have had this experience. I was in a speech class, and we were trying to be trained how to speak louder. My voice is not naturally that loud, doesn't carry that well. We had to leave the science lecture hall up at the top, go back to the gardens where there's a large fountain next to Orange Grove Boulevard. So here's the traffic going by on Orange Grove Boulevard. Here's the fountain. And this is the verse. These are the verses that we had to read. So there are seven woes here. I'm not going to read seven woes, but I will read two woes, and I'll try to imagine Orange Grove Boulevard traffic, this fountain, and just imagine. Christ wasn't saying this in a kind voice because he was pleased with what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. So in verse 13, But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Verse 14, the second. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses. I don't know if you caught that when we were reading in Luke earlier. Same exact thing. The same exact mention in Mark, right before the widow's mite. These scribes and Pharisees are devouring widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you'll receive a greater damnation. So what does this mean that they're eating widows' houses? Are they going with a fork and a knife to a widow's house and they're eating the house? No. So what does it mean that they're actually doing? I looked and found there is a website, gotquestions.org, and it says, in ancient times, widows held little or no power in the courts. It wasn't uncommon for a husband to appoint in his will a Jewish legal expert, a scribe or a Pharisee, to be the executor of the widow's estate. Essentially, this gave the executor the authority to oversee the widow's finances and assets. It wouldn't be hard for a corrupt lawyer to find legal ways to trick a widow out of her house and other property, and that's what the religious leaders were doing. God always condemns those who use a position of trust to further their own ends and pander to their own comfort. Barclay's brought out a few other interesting points about scribes and rabbis. So here, long robes saying, look at me, they're eating widows' houses or devouring them. He also said they would have these rules of precedence, and everything was so important for who was where and what. First of all, the oldest rabbi had to be the most important and respected. But then they started comparing rabbis and parents. If there's a rabbi and a parent both together, the rabbi said you must always then defer to the rabbi. So they gave some examples. If there was a ransom given, if there was a kidnapping and both a parent and a rabbi were ransomed, who do you think that the rabbis would say would be ransomed first? The rabbi, more than the parent. They went through this whole list of things that's always showing preference to the rabbi because it was being taught by the rabbis. One other just general thought around widows. So the widows are very strong ladies. They're loved and have a very special place in God's heart. They're experienced with both love and loss. And God hears their prayers. A brief story is, 5+ years ago, my family and I, we were about to move. We put our house up for sale, and we told a select few people that this was our plan. And then about a month or two later, plans changed. I came back and told the people that we were going to move, hey, plans changed. For the foreseeable future, we're here. A widow lady said, I knew you weren't going to move. I said, well, why? Well, I was praying that you would stay. I said, well, I think thanks, but next time let's make sure we talk ahead of time as far as your prayers and what the plans are. But I would say this, if a person's going through a trial, encourage and ask a widow to pray for you. You don't have to be specific or general, but widows' prayers are heard. Also, see what you can do to help out widows, both praying for them and helping encourage them. So there's both ways that things could be accomplished there. I do like the thought that the widow's mite, M-I-T-E, it really could be changed. M-I-G-H-T. The widows have a might and a strength with the love of God for them especially. So now how would I wrap this up with applications for today? Two quick thoughts. Number one, shorten the robe. Shorten the robe. What do I mean by that? We don't need to come in with a long robe and say, hey, here I am, look at me. It should be, there you are. How can I help encourage you as a part of our lives together? Secondly, give with both the heart and the feet. What made the widow's mite so special was the intention that the widow's mite, or the widow by giving the mite, gave in comparison to the scribe with the big robe. So in the future, when you read or think of the widow's mite, you can consider the connection between the coin, the robe, and the house. And I think to wrap this up, I would just like to read Luke chapter 20 again. And now let's read this parable, or this story, with a fresh set of eyes, thinking more about the robe than the house, and then the coin. Verse 45, then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes. They love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in a synagogue, the best places at the feast. They devour widows' houses. and for pretense they make long prayers. Well, that was something else I read. The prayers were given in a way that not offered to God, but offered to others. They're offered in such a place, in such a way that no one could fail to see how pious that the person was. But long pretense, long prayers, they'll receive a greater condemnation. But now, chapter 21, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of you. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.